This time I'd like to invite Robert up. He's going to present the message today.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before I begin, I want to present some awards for the basketball tournament for those who were able to go. And I have three awards up here for the teams. It's kind of late, but I want to thank Mark and Gracie for opening up their home to us so that we were able to do this. First gifts I want to give to is Levi for his awesome play. Wait, is there anything you need to say? Anyone you want to thank? Or
I'd like to thank my teammates. And it was a really cold night, and glory to God.
All right. Thank you, sir. The second gift I want to give up to is the MVP, which is Aaron. Aaron, come up here. MVP. Go, Aaron. And then I have another gift for the Sixth Man Award, and that goes to Alex Hernandez, but she's not here, so if Isabel, his wife, can come and present this, give this to him. Thank you. Welcome. It's a beautiful day today, and I'm thankful for the rain. It's been raining a lot lately. I noticed a couple of things this past week about myself. I noticed that when I come to church, and I don't know if anyone else noticed about, but for me, I'm a very detailed person. I notice all the details. And I noticed that when I come to church, I park in that third row right there. I come through these doors. I enter class and I say hi to the very first person I meet. I go around the circle. I sit next to either my Tia Irene or Isabel, listen to the prayer request, say hi to them, and then go around before I start class. I notice when class ends, I come back over here, say hi to everybody. And then when I enter through these doors, I always start on this side. I say hi to Julie, Janelle, and my Tia. And then I start this way. And then I come back over here, and I say hi to Brother Leonard, and everyone's on this side. And I make my way to Levi, Georgia. And the Rosses usually sit right there, and I sit like right behind Rana and her boys. And I don't know, I noticed that, and it just made me feel comfortable. I don't know what I would do if I came out of this door, and I parked way over there, and I started saying hi to everyone, started over here, and then worked my way back. I don't know what I would do. Maybe it wouldn't make me feel comfortable. It's like my routine almost. And that's what I want to talk about today is being comfortable, getting out of our comfort zone. But before I begin, I wanna do something first with this church, because I notice where everybody sits, and I can name you where everyone sits. That's Brother Leonard's spot back there. Mimi, what are you doing? You're over here. You know, you got the Silvas back there. You know, Isabel sits right here. And so I want to do something real quick. It's only going to take maybe a minute at the most, but I want you to get up and sit next to someone that you don't normally sit next to. And it take real quick. Sit next to someone that you don't normally sit next to. So everyone on this side, sit next to someone on over here. And over there, come over here. Sit. I don't want to see anybody sitting to someone that you normally sit next to. All right. Now how does everybody feel?
Good.
Yeah? I'm going to assume that we all love each other, correct?
Yes.
We're all comfortable with one another. So this looks actually better. The church looks bigger. I like this. So today, I want to talk about getting out of your comfort zone. In Matthew, thank you to Brother Betha who read this. In Matthew chapter 16, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come to me, come after me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What does it mean to follow me? What does he mean by that? Follow me. That means we're going to follow him to the ends of the earth, whether it makes us feel comfortable or not. We might have to do things that we don't normally do or we wouldn't consider. But because we love Christ, we're going to do them. In Matthew chapter 19, it says the apostles gave up everything. They gave up everything they had to follow Jesus. I'm sure they had families, they had work, but they gave that all up to follow Jesus. How comfortable with that? I mean, would you guys be comfortable giving up your family right now for Jesus? I mean, that's a tough question to answer. But they did that. They gave up everything to follow Him. They made a choice to follow Christ. Even though they got out of their bubble, these invisible barriers that we set up for ourselves, our comfort zone, they broke out of that and they chose to give it up all to follow Jesus. They made that choice. A choice to get out of your comfort zone. For me, you know, I'm pretty much comfortable with anything. There's really nothing that really uncomfortable. But I will admit to you, church, that one thing that I don't want to say hate, because it's a strong word, but I dislike very much going shopping. I can't do that. I cannot. And every so often, my mom, she likes it. She asks me, "Do you want to go?" I always first tell her, I say, "Mom, I'm not going shopping." I say, "Us as men, we say we're going to the store or we're going to go get some things." Men don't go shopping. We don't do that. But every so often she does ask me. She asks, "Do you want to go?" And so now I'm stuck I have a decision to make. I have two options at that moment. I have the option to say, "No, Mom, I'll go another time with you." Or I have an option to stop what I'm doing and go with her because I care about her and I love her. Those are my only two options. I usually choose to say, "No, I'm just playing." I go with my mom. But I choose to go. And it's the same way with Christ. When Christ calls upon us, we have two options. To say, "Lord, yes, I'll do it now." Or, "Lord, no, that's out of my zone. I can't do that. I cannot do that. I'm sorry, I love you, but I just cannot do that." I want to focus a little bit today on a man by the name of Ananias from Damascus. And also a man by the name of Saul, which who also later to be turned out to be the Apostle Paul. But Saul, he hated, it says that he hated those followers of Christ. He wanted to throw them into prison. And Jesus confirms this in John 16, chapter 2, where he says, there's going to be a time where people are going to kill Christians, and they're going to think that in their mind, they're doing right by God. He says that to his disciples in John 16. And so we all know, I know we're all pretty familiar with the story of Stephen. They dragged him out of the city and they stoned him to death. And it says there that Saul was there and they laid their clothes down by him. And it says that he approved of this. He was approving of Stephen being murdered. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, which is what we're going to be looking at mostly tonight, today. In Acts chapter 9, it says Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him of the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were in the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bond to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. So he was going to Damascus to look for those who were praising God. And on his way, he got a little surprise. It says in verse 4, it says, "Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him," he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So he went. So he came out. His course just completely changed once Christ started talking to him. He said, and the man in verse 7 says, "The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose, and the ground arose from the ground, and his eyes were open, but he saw nobody. And then he led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." He was blind from the light. And if you read a little bit further into verse 10, it says, "Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. To him, and the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" See, I really like Ananias, because here I can relate to Ananias, where he kind of questions whether he should do this. He questions whether he should help this man. In verse 11 says, "The Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to a street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying.' And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias knew who Saul was. He knew what Saul had been, what Saul had done. And I kind of like the response of Ananias, because right here, it's something that I can relate to. I could see myself doing. He says, "Then Ananias answered the Lord, 'Lord, I have heard many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.'" So right now he's pleading with God. He's telling God, well, not pleading, but he's telling God, "Look, Lord, like, you want me to help this man? Look what he's done. He's killed for those who have called on your name. And you want me to help this man? That means I'd have to get out of my comfort zone to go help this man." I don't think Ananias was comfortable going to help this man, but the Lord, like a parent to his child, he said, "Go, for he has chosen a vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things, and he must suffer for my name's sake." So I could picture God saying, "Just go. Just go. Don't question it. Don't question what I'm doing. Just go." And Ananias, I can picture Ananias as he's walking down the road, imagining him, thinking about does God really know what he's doing? I'm really going to help this man who's killed, who's persecuted, who's coming over here to throw those who proclaim the name of God and throw them in prison. I can relate to Ananias, because sometimes things in life we can question whether God really knows what he's doing. For me, it's kind of weird though when I say this, because like I'm only 23 years old, so when I say when I was younger, I mean, I guess my teenage years. So when I was younger, I must confess this to the church though. So when I was younger, one of the things that I was really uncomfortable with was really helping people out. And you probably think, well, you know, helping people. Well, let me explain. And not helping people like giving advice. Like if someone came to me and told me their plans and told me what they were going to do, and I knew that it was going to hurt them, I wouldn't say anything. I would say, well, just do what makes you happy. Just do whatever makes you happy. And now as I got older, I know that if I would have just stopped and said, you know, no, don't do that, I probably would have saved some of my friends from doing drugs, or, you know, some of them in prison or in gangs. But I didn't. I didn't take that stand to say something, because that made me feel uncomfortable to tell them, hey, you're doing wrong. That made me feel uncomfortable to say, you know, who am I to tell you what to do or how to live? And but as I got older, I know that now that I think back and I think, you know, I really wish I would have said something. But that was hard for me. That made me feel uncomfortable to say that. And I guess, you know, maybe us today are struggling with that. Maybe there's something that you just can't, you just question whether you can do it or not. You know, so whether it's having compassion, having love, forgiveness, having forgiveness to say, to forgive someone is very difficult. And I still struggle with that today, to forgive those who do wrong. But I trust in God. I trust God that he has a plan. He says, my ways are not your ways. So I don't question what he does. But me, my personal, my human self, is like, Lord, do you know what you're really doing, Lord? Like, are you sure this is right? And I look at Ananias right now, and I say, as he's walking down the road, I can imagine Ananias saying, just questioning, like, God, what am I doing? Do you really want me to do this? You know, am I really doing what's right? And if you look down at and verse 17, it says, Ananias went on his way and entered the house. When I picture this scene, I picture Ananias just walking down the road and debating with himself what he should do, and questioning whether he should do it or not, questioning whether God really knows what he's doing. And then he comes to the door, and I picture Ananias when he walks up to the door, and he's about to enter the door, and I just imagine him saying, like, saying a quick prayer, humbling himself before God, to look at this man and to be able to forgive. In verse 17 it says, Ananias went on his way and entered the house, and laying his hands upon him, he said, Brother Saul, The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when I look at this verse and I think, well, Ananias enters the door, and to his astonishment, I believe he sees a man on his knees praying. And I just picture this thought of him just looking at him and then having sympathy for him and feeling bad for prejudging him, assuming he was this horrible person. Looking at him praying, and he goes over there and he lays his hands on him. And if you read down in verse 18, it says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and he was baptized. So Ananias, who first questioned whether he should go to Damascus to help this man, questioned himself on the road, saying, I believe he said a prayer before he entered the door to see this man on his knees praying, asking God to send someone to open up his eyes. I believe he had sympathy for the man. And as soon as he laid his hands on him, it says scales fell from his eyes, and he arose and was baptized. Ananias had to trust in God. He had to get out of his comfort zone to not look at what he had done. Not look at what Saul had done to the people, but to look past that and say that, well, I'm going to forgive. And there's a verse that says that that we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart of men. And verse 19 says, then he received food and he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So this man who saw Stephen get stoned, approved of it, was on his way to Damascus to persecute those and put them and incarcerate them, was blinded, started praying, and was healed. And it says that he got baptized. I believe God is good. I believe God can do all things. There's nothing that God can't do. Amen. You know, I believe, Brother Bunky, you'll be in my prayers, Bunky. I believe that God can help you, can help all of us, no matter what it is that we're doing. No matter what we're going through, He can help us. But it takes a leap of faith. Get out of your comfort zone to do it. To trust in God. I believe God can do all things. To get out of our comfort zone, to do anything for God. Serve any way possible. No matter what we're struggling with. We should serve God regardless of our comfort zone. Regardless of our comfort level. Even if it makes us feel uncomfortable to do it. Maybe we can't speak to one another. Maybe we have trouble preaching the word. Maybe we have trouble forgiving. Maybe we have trouble loving, having compassion. No matter what it is, step out of your comfort level and do it. You know, it comes down to making that choice to do so. I believe God can do all things, and that no matter what we do or what we come to, He can help us through it. But it takes a leap of faith and getting out of your comfort level and trusting in God that He will provide and that He can do all things. But it takes a leap of faith. Thank you. God bless.